Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. For those, Father God, who are laying out before you, please minister to them. Meet each and every need. Overshadow them, Father. Father God, for those of us who are sitting in your presence, we're asking that you give us a special touch also. Take us deeper in you, Father God. Take us higher. Let us enjoy your presence, Father, in this season. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you read about how many people are starting writing articles that we don't know what we're celebrating? That Jesus wasn't born in December, and we know that. But you know, they're telling you that you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that and shouldn't do the other. But you know, God knows all that, doesn't he? Yet he tells us to have a joyful time and to rejoice and just to enjoy ourselves. So God wants us to enjoy ourselves during this Christmas season. So let's just enjoy ourselves and let's please God and not man. All right. Tonight, God wants to teach you about striking the ground. And he used the word precarious, so I'm going to read that. Precarious is not securely held or in position, dangerously likely to fall or collapse. God said, children, you are the precarious ones, not me. You're the ones that aren't securely secured and you collapse. I want you to move forward with a battering ram of my words that have been spoken to you, and I want you to accomplish all things. In other words, use your prophetic words. You are rooted and grounded in me, and I am with you always. Do not look to the right nor to the left, but keep charging forward with declaration after declaration of my words that I have spoken over your lives. You take charge of your words that were spoken. Your prophetic words, now he's talking about. You go forth and you decree and declare what thus saith the Lord. You be the mouthpiece that speaks forth your deliverance and your security in me. I have given each of you this tongue of the learned, and I have marked you for my kingdom, and I am well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And Isaiah 50, chapter 50, verse 4 says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, your brother, your sister that's down. He awaketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. God has given you the tongue of the learned. He's given you ears to hear what the Father is saying. And I believe it's time for the body of Christ to use the tongue of the learned and not idle junk. And we should use our ears to hear the voice of the Father every day. Just not when we need it, but every day we need to hear the voice of the Father. God goes on to say, forward. You are always to be in a forward motion, and you are to never turn back from whence you came. Take my hand more securely right now and march to my drumbeat and quit allowing the enemy to steal. How many times do I have to tell you that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if we truly believed that scripture, we would be different people. We would be true warriors of the cross, and we wouldn't be so easily shaken and moved off of our foundation. God said, how many times must I nudge you to move forward and accomplish all that I have called you for to accomplish? I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, and I know all things that pertain to your life. God isn't surprised about anything that happens in your life. You are, but he is not, because he knows all things that we're going to do. Exodus 14:15 says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. So don't come and whine to me because I tell you to get up and get going. Amen. I don't allow you to sit down and whine, because that's not where God has you. He doesn't have you in a valley whining. He has you in heavenly places, more than a conqueror, going forth to do the works of heaven. That's where we're at. In Revelation 22:13 says, God says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And then Revelation 1:8 says, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. God is who he is. That's just all there is to it. He just is who he is. And you can't change him. He can't change you either. Have you noticed that? He's been trying really hard to get you changed, but you won't change either. God has not given you that stubborn forehead. That's the stubborn forehead that you've gotten all by yourself. Revelation 21, verse 6. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Are you thirsty? God is going to give you water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So if you stay the course, if you stay strong, God said you're going to inherit all that he has. God went on to say, I am the true marksman. And when I tell you to shoot the arrows and I tell you to hit the mark, as you lead out in obedience, I will direct the arrows and they will hit the mark every time, just not now and then. Now, marksman is a person skilled in shooting. And God said, I am the true marksman. And when I tell you to shoot the arrows and I tell you to hit the mark, as you lead out in obedience, I will direct the arrows and they will hit the mark every time, not just now and then. Let's stop there. This whole teaching that God is teaching is all about us taking our prophetic words and decreeing them over our life. Decreeing and declaring. All right, God said to me, you're healed from the ground of your heads, the soles of your feet. Now you make your body line up with my word. I have to decree and declare every day, I am healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet until I see it come into fruition. That is my job. God has already done his part. Now I have to do mine. Now, I want you to really listen to what God is saying, because this is all about you taking your word and start decreeing and declaring it and watching it come to pass. Excuse me. God said, it truly is showtime. It is time that you show the enemy from whence he came and from whence you came, and show him and his final destination along with your final destination. You see that? The enemy of your soul came from the throes of hell. In Revelation 12, 7 through 9 says, then war broke out in heaven. You know, what did God say? It truly is showtime. It is time that you show the enemy from whence he came. So this is what we're reading. Where did he come from? Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven, this Satan and his angels. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So that's where Satan came from. He was cast out of heaven. Now, you came forth from the heavenly places assigned to do a perfect works for your Father in heaven. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This is where you came from. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. See, this is where you came from. Didn't come from Satan. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. This is God speaking to Jesus, Holy Spirit. Why? So that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Let's go back to verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Why? So that they may rule over the fish. See, because God rules over everything, right? So that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So, you know, we are supposed to rule over everything. So as I was reading that, I thought about my daughter used to have a pure wolf. Nobody could do anything to that wolf except me. Whatever I told him to do, he did. He was beautiful. But he would try to bite everybody else. We finally had to get rid of him. But as I read this, see, why did that happen? Why did he listen to me? Because I had dominion over him, according to this, right? And that wolf had to listen to me, the God in me. Isn't this right? And this is what we have to, just like one time we lived in a place in Ohio, and they had riding horses, and, you know, I was in charge of riding horses, you know, so one day I decided to go riding with a friend, and so she and I went riding. Well, my horse decided to act up, and I found out from their other riders later that she always acted up, but she was really acting up. So I yanked in that rein and I jumped down and I got in front of her and I said, "You will listen to me. You will do what I tell you to do," and I said, "Right now you'll stand still," because she was really acting up. She immediately stood still, and I said, "Now you're going to walk behind me. And I'm going to walk you back to the stable." She walked very obediently behind me and walked back to the stable. And my landlord said, "How did you get that horse to do that?" I didn't know it then, but I had dominion over that horse. And see, that horse knew I wasn't born again then. And that horse knew I had dominion. The horse knew she had to listen to me. Are you understanding this? Come on. We have dominion, according to this, over everything that God created. We don't use that dominion. We don't use that authority. That's a weapon God's given us. And we just let the enemy do whatever he wants to, through whatever he wants to. All right. Now, God said the enemy's destination is total confinement in the lake of fire for 1,000 years. So, Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, that's his destination. Now, God said, your destination is being seated in heavenly places with your heavenly Father. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is what our destination is, to be seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places right now. Not tomorrow, not a year from now, right now that's where we're to be. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Why do we keep our minds on the worldly things? Colossians tells us that our minds should be in heavenly places. And if our minds are in heavenly places, we won't be doing the dumb things we're doing. I'm going to stop there. That drummer boy, I love that song. But, you know, the leader of the group, the tall, thin man, you know, I read about when he was going to get married to that singer. You know, you ladies, I'm saying this for you girls. She would not allow him to kiss her. She would not allow him to kiss her until their wedding day when they said, "I do." So they just were friends. They didn't kiss one another. She said, "I want to make sure that the man who touches my lips and holds me is the man I'm going to spend the rest of my life with." I hope your younger kids, or even some of you ladies, are listening. She kept herself pure right until her wedding day. You don't see that in the world anymore, do you? Grab it and run with it. And see, and that's not God. So anyhow, she had her mind set on heavenly things, is what I'm getting at here. She had her mind set in heavenly things, and she knew who she was in Christ Jesus, and she was not about to sell herself short. All right. God says, come forth, children, out of darkness into my total light. Be light bearers for me and go forth and light up this dark, deprived world and allow my son Jesus to shine in the world like never before. Come forth, children, out of darkness into my total light. Be light bearers for me and go forth and light up this dark, deprived world and allow my son Jesus to shine in the world like never before. Are you a light bearer? Is your light shining in a dark, dark, deprived world? Are you, and when they look at you, do they see Jesus? Or do they just see another worldly person? You have to think about this. God said, many will run to your light, and many will give their all to the maker of all things, and they too shall become bright lights shining into a very dark, infested world. Many will run to your light, and many will give their all to the maker of all things, and they too shall become bright lights shining into a very dark, infested world. Why are they going to do this? Because you sold yourself out to God. You are a bright light shining in a dark, dark world, and they're going to want what you have. As I was leaving tonight, you know, Ted said to me, how many kids come to your church? I said, not many. Well, then you won't ever have a church. And that's what you're talking about. If you don't have kids in your church, then, because this is what it's all about, it's about the younger generation, your church will never grow. I said, well, God didn't tell me to be a babysitter. He called me to teach people to be ministers of the gospel, and that's what I'm doing. He said, well, don't expect to grow. And I said, well, I expect to grow. You have a good evening. You know, I let my light shine. I'm not going to let you discourage me. Amen. You know, and that is the mindset of a lot of churches. If you don't have a big nursery, then your church is going to grow because this is your future generation. I have news for them. I don't rely on the nursery. I rely on God. My mind is always in heavenly places. I'm always thinking about the way God thinks and not the way man thinks. I'm not growing the church. God is. You see this? See how this goes? All right. God said, my ultimate goal is to bring all of my children to a special place of understanding where they will understand all things and they will no longer walk in gross confusion. Let's read that again. My ultimate goal is to bring all of my children to a special place of understanding where they will understand all things and they will no longer walk in gross confusion. That's his ultimate goal. But do you think he's going to reach that? He said, bring all of my children. All of his children don't want him. That's why you're having their great falling away right now. But that is his ultimate goal. Now, confusion is not of me, little ones. And every time confusion sets in, you must take stock of what is going on around about you. And you must understand from whence you came and what your assignment is all about. Confusion is rearing its ugly head, even in this church, continually. And God says, confusion is not of me, little ones. And every time you're in confusion, you need to stop dead in your tracks, and you need to renegotiate, and you need to understand that God is not the author of confusion. Then you need to seek God's face and find out, well, what is truly going on here, and what is it that you really want me to be doing? All right? Deliberate concentration is what it is going to take at this given time. Deliberate concentration on God, heavenly places, is what it's going to take at this given time. God said you must be deliberate in everything you say and everything you do. I know some of you think I'm very hard, but I'm not. I'm just deliberate. I know what God's called me to do. I know what God tells me to do, and that's the way I come across. You must be deliberate in everything you say and everything you do. You must weigh each and every word that proceeds out of your mouth from this day forward. See that? You must weigh each and every word that proceeds out of your mouth from this day forward. Words can either bring life, or they can bring death. I want each word to bring life from this moment forth. I have chastised and I have shaken the body of Christ, and now I am deliberately going out into the highways and the byways to compel them to come into my houses of refuge and be cleansed with the washing of my word. God said he wants us to be deliberate in everything we do. And he says, I am deliberately going out into the highways. This message is very important because I had another message altogether, which I thought was just great and wonderful. But at 2 o'clock this morning, when little Isaiah went and let me sleep, I said to him, I'm going to go to my computer and study. You lay here in the bed. He said, oh, okay. You see, he'll go to sleep then. And so when I sat down, God started giving me this message. And there I was until 5:30 this morning getting this message together. So it's a very important message. Listen to what you're reading. Take it into your spirit, man, and chew on it. Don't let it fly over the top of your head, or don't sit there and grin at me like I'm taking it all in. No, you're not. You're just grinning. You need to take this in. Be deliberate about what you're listening to. Quit just letting things just whiz by your ears. Get it in your spirit. All right, James, when God said that he's deliberately going out into the highways and the byways and to compel the people to come into his houses. Now, James chapter 1, verse 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Now, take note of what he's saying. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word, the prophetic words of God planted in you can save you, is what he's saying. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know, this morning somebody got a prophetic word and they wasn't quite happy with it. And they talked to me and I said, look, I'm not hearing anything. I said, but I want you to take your word and go home and listen to it. Then if you have any questions after listening to it, then contact me and we'll go over it. And so I went to walk away and they grabbed my arm. And they said, went all through their what they had to say again. And I said, I'm still not hearing anything. Because I was listening to the word when it was given, and I saw when that part's not true. And, you know, and then I listened to the rest of it. And I tried to explain, first of all, to her what God was saying to her. But, she wanted to hear something else. I was not going to be pressured into saying that I heard something I was not hearing. And I told them again, go home and listen to your tape. And then they said to me, I come here on Sundays. I make this long trip and come here on Sundays because here my joy is restored back to me. But where I'm at, the otherwise, it steals my joy. And that's why I'm coming here. And they really were questioning the calling that God had upon their life. And God is getting people ready to go to Africa to minister to the people. And this person wasn't quite sure that she was called to be an evangelist to go to Africa. And I said, that's what God is calling you to do. And I said, so you go home and listen intently because you've missed something important in your prophetic word. Now, and then I did walk away. You need to walk away. Don't allow anybody to pressure you into saying something from your flesh just to appease them. We're not here to appease anybody. We are here to say whatever God has to say so that God can change and rearrange people's lives. All right, and I'm not your babysitter. I used to be your babysitter, but God said all you're supposed to do is give the word. Quit making them believe it. They can do with the word what they want to with it. You just give the word. So remember, we're not babysitters. We are warriors. And we are vessels of honor that God speaks through. And that's all. That's as far as we go. All right. I read that, didn't I? All right. God said, it is time to understand that I am not a distraught God. I am a God of total control. And I know exactly what I want each of you to accomplish in this lifetime. Some of you are distraught just because you didn't breathe right today. But God said, I am not a distraught God. I'm a God of total control, and I know exactly what I want each of you to accomplish in this lifetime. Now he talks about your books are laid open before you, and I expect each of you to start walking out your final destiny in me. I expect you to place your hand at the plow and never look back for any reason. Your books, our books, are open. And if we don't walk out our destinies, then we're finished. If we just walk so long and then quit, then we're finished. And God's not going to come back and pick us up again. God says your future lies before you, not back in the ash heap of pain and sorrow and regret. Take a stand for righteousness and continue on this journey of hope for a future and life more abundantly. Your future lies before you, not back in the ash heap of pain and sorrow and regret. We can't go back and change one lick of what we did. We just can't. It's done. We've already done it. It was good, bad, or indifferent. It's finished. You just have to move on and forget what you did. If you didn't obey God, well, I hope you've already repented for that. And I hope you're just moving on and allowing God to use you in any way he so desires to use you. Well, you just don't know how much hurt I inflicted. Well, you know, God does. And God is saying, move on. Move on. God said, I have given many of you a seer anointing so you can see in the spirit realm. Why? That you might be able to accomplish all that I have placed your hands to accomplish. So you guys, you know, he's given you a seer anointing so you can see into the spirit realm and you can actually visualize what's going on. I was ministering to somebody on the phone the other day and I actually saw a building erected, beautiful building, and it's all the greenery and everything around it. And God spoke to the person and said, don't be content in that little first beginning place you're going to start, because I have this for you. And I was able to tell them what the building looked like and everything. And they were excited because their father had already laid out a blueprint of a building he wanted to build for them. And I didn't know that. And so by the time that person hung up, they were so excited they couldn't stand themselves. They were so excited they didn't show up for church this morning, all right? That's how excited they were. Come on. You know. All right, then God said delivery time. Now, before I read this about babies, and he talks about twins, I read yesterday where this one hospital delivered 12 set of twins in one day. 12 set of twins. Can you believe that? In one day, and they were frantically taking care of them. A lot of twins. All right, delivery. God said delivery time. The baby is ready to come forth. Many will deliver their babies at this given time. And your babies are your ministries, right? These are babies of destinies that I have placed in your womb from birth. You are ready to birth forth your assignments and win at every turn. Are you listening here? You are ready to accomplish all that I have foreordained you to accomplish. You will feed the multitudes from one loaf. You will feed them fresh manna from heaven, for this fresh manna comes directly from the throne of grace, and it will accomplish in mighty works for my kingdom. Now, do we need to read that again to reinforce it? Sure we do. All right. Delivery time. The baby is ready to come forth. Many will deliver their babies at this given time. These are babies of destinies that I have placed in your womb from birth. You are ready to birth forth your assignments and win at every turn. You are ready to accomplish all that I have foreordained you to accomplish. You will feed the multitudes from one loaf. You will feed them fresh manna from heaven, for this fresh manna comes directly from the throne of grace, and it will accomplish a mighty works for my kingdom. Then he says, do not be surprised at how many twins you birth at this given time. For I am birthing forth many assignments at one time. Right now, God has three fires going in my spirit of things, three that he wants me to do right now. And so now I'm mulling over them and trying to get the final details on them. So he said, do not be surprised at how many twins you birth at this given time. For I am birthing forth many assignments at one time. You will be able to handle the twins. and there are those in my house that will birth forth triplets, even quadruples, for I have given them the stamina to do a great and mighty works for me. Brother Aaron, would you have twins, or do you have triplets? Because you have the drums, you have the singing in tongues, and you have the anointing to lead praise and worship. So there's three of your destinies that God's trying to birth forth. What are you doing with them? All right? God said the arrows, okay, we're through with the birthing right now. Now, God said the arrows need to hit the ground to bring forth your destinies in the manner, excuse me, that I have proclaimed them to come forth. Hit the ground, little ones. Hit the ground with your arrows of destiny and watch them birth forth. Excuse me. So I went to Jeremiah 23:29, and it declares, does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? When you begin to declare and decree the word that God has spoken to you over the years, it becomes like a hammer to smash the obstacles and the stubborn places that have blocked you from moving forward. A lot of us feel like we've been stagnated, and we feel like there's a fence being has been built around about us, and we can't move forward. But this is a time when God is removing all obstacles, and he's moving us forward. The Word of God is not just words written on paper. The Word of God is living and active. We have to learn to activate the Word of God in our lives by releasing the Word of God. In other words, what you've read your prophetic word, you listen to your prophetic tapes, and you've heard what God said, but have you released that? Have you put it out there in the open and released it? And let God breathe life into it now and let it come forth. All right, God himself stands over. Well, when we learn to work the Word, it will work on our behalf. God himself stands over and watches over his own word, making sure it is fulfilled. In Jeremiah 1:12, then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. The King James Version says, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Right now, God really desires to perform the works in you. He wants to bring those works forth. And, you know, and Sister Barbara has got all of a sudden she has a deep intercession. She's crying and crying and crying over lost souls. And see, God is birthing something in her right now. And all she can do is weep. And it's for the lost. God told me today it's for the lost. And God is calling forth intercessors who will weep for the lost people. And so if you're one of those, then you have to let God use you any way he so desires. When we release the word, when you release your prophetic word, the angelic, you know, the host is dispatched to help assist us bring the word of God forth into manifestation in our lives, ministries, and businesses. When you release, when you decree and declare whatever word God spoke over you, what do you say? You're going to be a song leader? God, you said I'm going to be a great song leader. I release that prophetic word right now, and I want it to be activated, and I want it to be brought forth. But as long as you just listen and think about it, and you don't speak it forth and decree and declare it, nothing's ever going to happen. All right? All right, Grace, God said you're going to be a warrior flagger. Until you release that to God, say, all right, God, I don't understand this, but you said I'm going to be a warrior flagger. I just decree and declare that I'm releasing that now, and I want you to activate it and bring it forth. You do your part, and God will do his part. When the word of God is released, it carries a force behind it to break the toughest and hardest walls of opposition. How many of you, like me, you sit and you ponder in your mind what God has spoken over you, but you never speak it out. You just think about it. And as you're pondering it, you're thinking, well, God's hearing me ponder, and he's going to do something. But he is telling us we have to speak it out loud, and the angels will hear it, and the angels will start doing their works. Ezekiel 26:9 states, he will pound your walls with battering rams and demolish your towers with sledgehammers. The battering rams and the sledgehammers are a representation of the word of God and the force behind it. In ancient times, the battering rams were a weapon used to break through the gates of, or walls of a besieged city or castle. When I wrote that, I thought about the country western movies that somebody in my house watching are always using battering rams, you know, to knock walls down. So when you speak and you declare and decree your prophetic word, then God uses that as a battering ram, and he can, your word spoken as a battering ram, and then he can break down those walls, and he can bring forth the things that you're decreeing and declaring that he spoke over your life. I want you to envision writing the scripture or the prophetic word that Lord gave you for this season on the battering ram. As you begin to declare the word of God like a battering ram with the backing of heaven, you will break through the gates and walls that have kept you from breakthrough to your next victory. And I wrote down break through the gates because God told me when I was praying yesterday, he said, break down the gates. So I said out loud, God, I just break down those gates that are holding them prisoner. So you have to speak it forth. 2 Kings 13:14 says, now Elijah had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. And he said, my father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. When he shot that arrow, he was going to have victory over these people. Elijah declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elijah told him, strike the ground. Now listen to what you're reading, because this is important. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it, but now you will defeat it only three times. Now in verse 15, the prophet tells the king to grab the bow and arrows. Now this is your prophetic words that were, okay? The arrows represent the word of God and the prophetic words that have been spoken over your life. They are weapons we can use to fight back. When the enemy releases his arrows or words, we can prophesy back with the arrows of the words. In other words, if the enemy comes to tell you you're going to die, then you say, oh, no, I'm not, because God has said, and I believe God, all right? If he said your finances are always going to be bound up, you can go back to him and say, oh, no, I'm not, because God told me my coffer was going to overflow and I would have more than enough. I would have enough for myself and enough to help others. You see how this is working? In verse 17, the prophet tells the king to open the eastern window. It is time to open your spiritual vision to see as the Lord sees. In the Bible, the east can represent the place where the glory of his presence resides. The prophet told the king to shoot the arrow where the glory was. The prophet called the arrow the Lord's arrow of victory. The glory in his word will manifest the victory every time. God told me, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, he said, daughter, keep your eyes on the east. Because it's in the east that you're going to see my glory. And then when I read this story in the Bible, I understand what God was telling me. Keep your eyes on the word that I gave you about my glory, because my glory is surely going to ascend. Are you listening to this? And in verse 18, Elijah tells the king to take the other arrows, the word of God, and strike the ground. This was a prophetic act declaring the victory of the Lord. The king struck the ground only three times, and the prophet got mad at him and told him, you should have struck the ground five or six times. You'll find that in 2 Kings 13:9. He said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. The king struck the ground according to the measure of his faith. Striking the ground three times only enabled a partial victory and breakthrough. The prophet wanted the king to strike the ground five or six times to bring the total victory and breakthrough. You need to take every prophetic word and strike the ground with it. God said, keep striking the ground until you cover every prophetic word that God has spoken over your life. Don't stop with just saying, God said, I'll be healed, or God said, I'll have good finances, or God said, I'm going to have a different job. Don't stop there. You need to know everything that God spoke over your life and then speak them forth. And it's like striking the ground. We have to stop settling for partial breakthroughs and victories. Remember, God said we settle for second best, and he wants us to have the very best. Well, we have to stop settling for partial breakthroughs and victories. Take the arrows of the word of God, God's prophetic promises to you, and strike the ground for the complete manifestation of victory. Barbara, God told you, you're going to have many businesses. So I don't know how many, just say you have three businesses right now. How many do you have? You have the Glow, you have, and two things in real estate, right? One in Delaware and one in Maryland. But he's promised you other things. Everything he's promised you, you take that and declare it out in the open. We don't have time to fool around. We need to get our prophetic words manifested now. As you strike the ground with the arrows of the Lord, God is bringing a completion to your warfare and the season you have been walking through. He's bringing a completion to your warfare and the season you've been walking through. As you step into the new, and the new is 2020, January, not March, but January, you're going to walk in the manifestation of the breakthrough, a sudden act of moving beyond the obstacles that have hindered you in past season. See, we don't have too much time to fool around because January is quickly approaching. Breakthrough is here and now. Strike the ground and release the breaker. Then God said, children, I am the breaker. And when I wrote that down, strike the ground and release the breaker, then God spoke and said, children, I am the breaker. As you move forward in total faith, decreeing over your life all the promises I have been speaking to you, you will see the breaker anointing released over your circumstances, no matter what they are. Let's read that again, because this is where you're at right now. Children, I am the breaker, God. As you move forward in total faith, decreeing over your life all the promises I have been speaking to you, you will see the breaker anointing released over your circumstances, no matter what they are. God said you will witness total freedom from the past, and you walk into a bright and glorious future. Take the arrows in your hands and strike. This is plain and simple. Plain and simple. Brett and Nancy, where's this house God's promised you? You've been speaking it, but you really have been declaring and declaring and decreeing together in one mind and one accord in total unity. So God can't give you that. Are you listening here? I don't care if you live by yourself. You can be in unity with yourself. You know, don't be split between God and Satan. What God's saying, what Satan's saying. You don't care what Satan's saying. You're standing on by faith on what God has spoken over your life. If God in this house, if God has spoken a word over your life, it is yes and amen. If somebody's not right in their walk with God, I won't let them prophesy because I don't want mixed prophetic words going over anybody. And so God only uses those who are walking in total obedience to him. And so that's why you see different people prophesy at different times, because some people aren't where they should be with God. And so God is setting them aside for a season until they get themselves totally and completely right with him. Because when the word comes forth, it has to be a pure word. Are you understanding this? So what are you going to do with this word? The word was strike the ground. Do you understand that you take every prophetic word, not just one or two, every prophetic word God has spoken over your life, and you decree it and you declare it? That's how you strike the ground. If you have to, go out in the woods alone and scream them out. Whatever it takes, in your car going down the highway, you know, other people play loud music, you be screaming out your prophetic words to God. All right? I am sick and tired of watching the body of Christ sit around and not receiving all that they should have from God, because he's promised us he's promised it to you. And the reason why you don't have it is because you are not decreeing it and declaring it in faith, trusting and believing that God is in total control.